As Steve said, my name is Johnny. You'll normally find me not in the Chichester site. I'm normally much closer to the sea at Bognor. Great place to be, I tell you. So that's where my family are this morning. I just want to also reference, like Steve did, last weekend. Just what a phenomenal time we had. It was so good to be together. It was so much fun as well. I hope everyone who was there had some fun as well. And I just also really quickly want to big up that prayer week. One of my highlights when we prayed during our prayer week last time was our across the mornings we had a 6:30 prayer meeting all together. And it was, first of all, it was packed. It was so good to all be there praying, and what an amazing way to start our day. So I just want to commend that. Do come along to that. Be there. It's going to be fantastic, and you will be blessed starting your day like that. This morning, I am finishing off our Prayers of the Saints series. So over the summer, we've been exploring New Testament prayers and how we can relate those to our lives. And today I'm finishing off by looking at 3 John. So if you have a Bible, I think I have gone techno now. I'm going paperless. I do have a physical Bible still, but I think I'm going to go paperless now, just to let you know. So this is my Bible. I'm not just getting an iPad out for fun. So look for 3 John. It's about a page long, so it's pretty short, right near the back of the Bible. If you've gone to Revelation, you've probably gone a little bit too far, but you can find that. I just want to say I love this book. I love this letter that John is writing. It's full of personal affection. It's full of love and just care for a friend. So he's writing to a friend who is part of the church that he wrote to in 2 John, so it's the letters sort of go together, and they are letters of just personal love and affection to the church, and on this occasion, to a friend called Gaius. So hopefully you're there. We're only going to read the start of it. We're just reading a short bit about what he has actually prayed. So I'm going to go from verse 1. So it says, "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and are in good health, just as your whole life is going well. For I was very glad when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity in the truth, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth." I'm going to stop there. Just a short passage today. There is sometimes moments in our lives when we think, I've gone somewhere I shouldn't have gone here. So when I was younger, when I was in primary school actually, I got told off pretty badly at school. It still scars me, clearly. And there was a tree in the school field that people were not allowed to go to. This was like restricted area. You're not allowed to go here. I guess there were stinging nettles. I don't know why we weren't allowed there. And this was also the time when conkers were being phased out of schools, where obviously loads of kids apparently lost their eyes playing conkers. I don't actually know of any story where that has actually happened, but we kids no longer play conkers, which is a shame. So conkers being phased out, and also we weren't allowed to go behind this tree. So obviously, 7-year-old Johnny, what does he do? He goes behind the tree with his mates and plays conkers to be discovered by the head teacher, and then I lose, this is where I think it's slightly unjust, I lose my lunch break for a whole week. So I don't have any break time for a whole week. Slightly severe, obviously. What is the point of me taking you down memory lane? Well, John's prayer goes to a place where we think it's restricted. We sometimes can feel guilty praying a prayer like John has here, that life will go well for us. We sometimes feel, I don't really feel I'm allowed to pray that, for life to go well. We sometimes feel it's an off-limit type prayer. So just off the bat, before I really get into this, I want to tell you, you have permission from God to pray that life goes well for you. You can pray for good health and for your spiritual life to grow. We know this because, first of all, Jesus tells us so. We see it throughout the Psalms, and also we see John himself doing that very thing. In this letter, John, he's recounting what he has been praying. He's not writing word for word what he is praying for, but he is recounting what he has been praying for them, and he is telling them that he has been praying into this, what we sometimes think of a no-go area. He's been praying that all may go well with you. So I've titled the preach this morning that very thing. And because John is recounting what he has been preaching, what he has been praying, we sort of, it's like a keyhole. It's like we can look through this keyhole and see what forms part of John's prayer life. So this is John, all right? This is a disciple of Jesus, the disciple Jesus loved, telling his close friend and his church that in his own prayer life, he prays for things to go well. How often do you pray for good stuff in your life, for life to go well? I don't mean I pray for a Ferrari, but more that life just isn't a disaster. How often do you pray for that? Or do you pray it when actually it's become a disaster? How much do we pray before that happens? So this morning, I want to unpack this phrase. I want to look at the how, the what, and the why around praying that all may go well. So how should we pray that all may go well? First of all, we should pray aware of our sinful nature. We need to be aware that when we are praying for all to go well, that we have this ability in us as human beings to combine the sin in our lives with good intention. We can combine those two together. We may think that something we are asking God will help us. However, to later realize that we were wrong. We need to pray aware of our sinful nature, but also aware that God might know better than us. Have you seen the film Bruce Almighty? In the film Bruce Almighty, just a bit of background, he gets the power to be God, and then he gets all these prayers, and so what he does, he puts them into, I think it's Yahoo email format, and he gets all these emails, and to save himself some time replying, he just says yes to everything. He thinks, oh, this will be nice for everybody, they all have a prayer answered, and it'll all be fine. And then he turns on the telly to find, oh, everybody has won the lottery. Everyone has won a penny. So literally nobody has won the lottery because everybody has won the lottery. His good intention was incorrect because he didn't have the true mind of God. So we need to be pray aware of our sinful nature. But we also need to pray in a way that aligns ourselves with God's will. Look at what John prays. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you just as you are progressing spiritually. He doesn't separate his ask of God for things to go well from the growth of God inside himself and enjoying God. So how do I pray like John in a way that fits both my desires with God's will? Well, honestly, sometimes we just don't know. It's God. We don't know. Sometimes aren't aware of the will of God, but because we don't have the mind of God. But J.I. Packer is helpful here. He says, we should lay before God as part of our prayer the reasons why we think what we ask for is the best thing. If he wills something different, it will be better than the best thing we really want him to do. When we pray, aligning ourselves with God's will, we're not running down a shopping list saying, yeah, I'd like a Ferrari, I'd like a bigger house. But instead, what we're doing in praying for things to go well, we're looking hard at what God, what we're asking God through the lens of the things that we do know, the things that we do know from Scripture. What does the Bible say about life going well? What does that actually look like? We're praying through a lens of how salvation works. What does life look like in following Jesus and laying our lives down to follow Jesus? We're looking through the lens of what he wants for the world. What does God want for the world? Those ways help us to fit our desires with his will. So that's the how. But what about the what? What am I praying when I pray that all may go well? What does it mean practically to pray that all may go well with you? Well, the first thing to spot is he isn't just praying for his own health. John's not just praying for himself. He prays for others. He prays that all may go well with you. He prays for the ones he loves. I just want to ask you an uncomfortable question. How often do you pray for others? How often do you pray for others? If I'm honest, the time I enjoy to pray is often in the car on the way to work or on the way home from work or on a long journey on my own in the car. Just find it just a great time with God. And I was just looking at how I was praying, and so often it's me focused. It's praying that my life goes well. It's praying into my situations. And really, what John's praying is that he's praying for outward looking. He's looking at others. He's caring for others. And in doing that, we're taking our eyes off ourselves and our issues. As well as being more about others, this prayer that all may go well is, it's a big, meaty prayer. There's lots to it. It goes very deep. Remember, John has just given us a keyhole to look through. We're just looking at a little part of what he is praying, and there's so much meat to it. So when someone says, I've got an interview tomorrow, and you go, oh, I pray it goes well, what are we practically praying there? What would God want us to be praying for in that moment? Well, we're praying that they get the job. Well, that's pretty obvious, but that's quite surface level. What is it that we're really praying for? What is the deep, meaty stuff that John has been praying? Let's have a look. First, it's about others, but also we're praying for salvation. We're praying that eyes would be open to God and that he would be enjoyed. We all need supernatural inner strength and an experience of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love to truly know what it means for life to go well. This prayer is the most powerful and most thoughtful and loving prayer where you can pray for others, where we can pray about others. It might even be for the first time for non-Christians. He's so praying that all may go well by asking God to teach the wisdom of his will. So it sort of links to the how. Gaius is in a situation at this point where he is pressurized by the people in the church, and he's in a tough situation. He needs to understand and live in the knowledge of God's will. Our prayers for one another, they should begin with a growing love for God, but it doesn't just settle for that. That's not where we settle. When we're praying, it may go well. We are praying for spiritual wisdom and understanding. We're praying also that God's gives boldness to speak about Jesus. Yes, when someone goes for a job interview, we're praying that they get the job. That's the surface level prayer. But really, we're praying that they are gracious in getting a job, or they're gracious in not getting the job. We're praying that there'll be someone who is demonstrating Jesus wherever they are at. When we're praying for those things, we're praying that they live a life for Christ, not just themselves. And that's what real all may go well prayer looks like. We're praying for godly friends. We're praying that all may go well. We're praying that God will send them good, godly friends in the faith. COVID has definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, taught us how much being around godly friends is important and beneficial. So one of the most important prayers we can pray that all may go well is that God would give healthy, faithful, godly friends to those we love. How often do you pray for friends? Not just somebody that you can just vent to with all your issues, but how often do you pray for your non-Christian friends to interact with a godly, Christian, faith-filled person? How often do you pray that for your family or even for yourself? Godly friends of the faith, they help us to realign our focus when life feels like it's not going well. They're there for when it does get tough. When we pray for it to go well, we pray also for protection against the enemy of our soul. We're praying against what Satan is trying to do in our lives. We and those we love are constantly going to meet resistance and hostility because Satan hates us. He hates what God does in our lives. And it's like the hostility that Gaius is having in 3 John here. So as we pray that all may go well, we're ultimately remembering Ephesians 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. One of the most effective ways to pray for things to go well is to pray regularly and passionately for others' war against the evil one. So when we pray that all may go well, practically, what we can pray, what we can physically pray, is for other people, not just ourselves. We can pray for God to open eyes, for God to teach wisdom of his will, to walk in a godly manner, to have boldness to preach the gospel, to send good friends of the faith, and that God would protect them. But there's one specific one that John mentions, I haven't quite put in that list yet, and that is good health. One area of John's prayer is he mentions explicitly that you may enjoy good health. So I just want to touch on that for a moment. Unlike most of the other points I've made about what we can physically and practically pray for, that all may go well, this one can come with a bit more baggage. This one can be a bit more painful for people. So I just want to ask the question, how can we enjoy good health? Well, if you are a Christian, you need to be aware that good health is a gift from God that we ask for, and it is not an expected right that we should have. We need to be aware that good health is a gift from God that we ask for and not an expected right that we have. Joseph Piper, he's a German philosopher. He's not related to John Piper. It's also spelt differently. He said, "Everything gained and everything claimed follows upon something given and comes after something unearned. There is the beginning. There is a gift." Good health is a beautiful, gracious, loving gift from God. The gospel should inform our enjoyment and satisfaction and our prayer about health and prosperity. Health isn't something we just go, oh, I'll just go onto Amazon, get it on Prime the next day, it'll be delivered. Good health is a gift from God. And because it's a gift from God, there are external gifts and internal gifts that he gives us. The external gifts of good health, and I'm praying for good health, is boldness. God gives us boldness to ask for good health. James 5 tells us, God affects our lives and the circumstances of history when we ask. And there are many things that God says that he will give and that he will affect, but he won't do it until we ask. That's what the Bible tells us. And when we do ask, well, he will give us above and beyond what we have asked for. He's not going to hold back any good thing that we have asked for. James also tells us that. All that means is we should enjoy praying for good health confidently and with boldness. We have a God who runs the universe, and he is a heavenly Father as well. And so we should be bold in asking for good health. But sometimes the external gift of physical good health and boldness, it might not be felt. You might not feel that way. You might not see it happening. You might feel that the answer wasn't a yes. And then that's where the internal gift of praying for good health comes in. The internal gift is peace. It is through our asks of God that we receive enjoyment, peace, and rest about our health. You think of it this way, when we go to sleep, I am completely surrendering my body to God, whether I realize it or not. I'm going completely unconscious to rest in bed and go to sleep, and I'm giving up all my control, and I'm putting my trust in God that he will care for me, that I will wake up in the morning, that Kim won't murder me in the night. All right, I'm giving that over. And then when we're praying for good health, we're doing something similar. We're giving up control of our health, and because we know it's a gift from God, so we just enjoy it. That doesn't mean that we don't physically take care of it, but it means that we don't fret about it. It's really important that we don't, that neither the internal nor the external gift of praying for good health gets the upper hand. Because otherwise we end up living in fear of death and in fear of illness, and we worry when illness comes. But also we can use this type of prayer as a tool to force God's hand and say, well, you said in your word that I can ask in boldness and it will be given to me. Now both need to be used, both need to be on the scales. If we don't, it becomes massively unhealthy for us. Tim Keller says it's sort of like this. The purpose we should have when we are praying for good health should aim to give the soul the same peace spiritually that a good night's sleep gives the body physically. But if we're honest, there is a vague elephant in the room that I've not touched on yet. And that's asking God for things to go well and for good health has a painful reality, because sometimes it feels like it's not. Sometimes you're praying and you just feel, it doesn't feel like my asks are being heard of God. And that's just shattering. And you get to a point where you say, well, why ask for life to go well? You might even be saying, can I even do that? Am I in a place where I'm just like struggling so much to be even able to say that? Why ask for it to go well and be told, wait, or no? Well, we can ask because Jesus had an unanswered prayer. Let's look at how John finishes that. In verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John's joy doesn't come from prayers of prosperity and good health being answered. That's not where his joy is found. His joy is found in the truth of Jesus. It's what Jesus says in Luke 11. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who love you? There has never been an earthly parent who wants joy for their children as much as your Father in heaven wants joy for his child. We know that God is not only a loving God, but he is a just God. And like I said earlier, we need to be aware of our sinful nature. How can a loving God, who is also just, allow us to ask that all may go well? We don't deserve that question, that prayer, that call on God to even be answered. Well, it's because Jesus got the sting of venom, like he's talking about in Luke 11, in our place. He was rejected so that we might be heard. We know God will answer us. It might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be a wait when we call, but he will hear us because one terrible day he didn't answer Jesus when Jesus called on the cross. Jesus called out, "My God, my God," and we hear in the next line he says, "Why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken. He wasn't heard. Jesus was the perfect man. He deserved his prayers to be answered way more than I do. Jesus was the only human being in history who should have had his prayers answered, every single one of them. But he prayed in that moment and he was turned down. The ear of God was not turned to him. He was forsaken. Jesus' prayers were given the rejection that we deserve so that our prayers would be given the reception he deserved. Say that again. Jesus' prayers were given the rejection that we deserve so that our prayers could have the reception that he deserved. We don't deserve to pray, all may go well. Yet, in his gracious move on the cross, the trump card Jesus played, we get the reception that he deserves. We can pray that all may go well, even though we don't deserve it, because the cross means God turns his ear to us. Earlier I mentioned we need to be aware of our sin when we are praying all may go well, but ultimately, to trump that, we need to be aware of his grace. We need to be aware of the grace of God. We should ask God for things to go well with boldness, with honesty, with diligence. Yet, at the same time, we need to be in submission to his will and his wise love for us and of his grace, which is all sufficient for us. So as the band come up, I'm just going to put the what back on the screen, and I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to pray over us, and then I want you guys to pray. There's no point in me preaching this morning and for people just to go, "Oh, that's nice. No, this is for you to take and use and own as you go through your day. And know how to pray this type of prayer. So, do you want to stand? The band are going to play nicely. I say nicely, musically, poetically, and just as they're playing, you can close your eyes to help you concentrate. You can open your hands out to say, "Yeah, God, I want to receive this prayer. I want to receive your love. I want us to fix our eyes on his grace. God, I'm just going to pray. God, will you just speak to us now? Will we be aware, God, of our sin? Aware that we fall short. We don't even deserve to pray that all may go well in our lives yet. On the cross, you were completely rejected to allow the ear of the Father in heaven, who rules over the universe, to turn his ear to us and to hear our prayers, our calls, our crying out for all to go well in our lives. Thank you, God, that you are a loving Father who is just. And it was impossible, God, for us to come, yet you allowed it. You allowed your children to come to you and ask boldly.